Welcome back to We're No Experts. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Hamilton.
And I'm your other host, Jim Martin.
And I was just complaining about sitting on the floor. I don't think I'm going to be able to sustain this. If you hear me moving, that's why.
Are you literally sitting on the floor?
Well, I got a cushion or a pillow under my ass, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Because like I didn't want to get the damn folding table out. It's a whole rigmarole, man. And plus, like, I've got better access to a plug over here, like sitting in the corner in front of the couch, believe it or not. So it's like kind of a nicer recording setup in a lot of ways. I got like a little L-shaped, you know, kind of desk going on from the boxes that I've got stuff stacked on. So it's pretty good.
Are you cross-legged?
No. If I sat cross-legged, I couldn't get the microphone close enough, I think. I would need to have like more of an overhang desk type thing instead of a Rubbermaid container that the mic is sitting on right now.
Do you ever go to, I know you guys have your regular spot because this came up not that long ago and not on the show, but in a different conversation we had. And you guys have your regular spot that you go to near your house, I believe, like really close to your house for sushi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does it have the option to sit at one of those? I guess it's a traditional table. I don't know. They make you feel like it is, where you actually sit on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
On a cushion on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they have like two long tables. I guess it's two. I haven't been there in so long. I think it's two different areas. Or maybe they just put up a partition. But anyway, it's like super long table. And, yeah, you got to scoot up under there, sit kind of cross-legged or whatever. I'm sure there's a word for it, but it escapes me at the moment. The Japanese word for it, you know what I'm saying?
For the actual table?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the place that we used to go to in Cary, Kashin, has similar seating. They have a little private room type area. I think you got to reserve it, but it doesn't, like, cost anything. And you take your shoes off and go in there, of course. But, like, the difference with them is that they actually have... I think I'm remembering this correctly. They actually have like a pit under the table sort of built out. So like you're just sitting on the floor, but like your legs are hanging down like you were sitting on a chair.
I feel like I've seen that. I've never sat at one of those though, but I definitely have seen it. I'm not sure if I've seen it in person though, or I'm just remembering having seen it in like a movie or a TV show.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's not bad though.
Yeah, I like it. It makes me feel, you know, traditional, I guess, even though it probably isn't. You probably go to Japan and no one, that's not even a thing, right?
Oh, I'm sure it's a thing depending. Like, you know, Japan's like anywhere else, I imagine. They probably have restaurants that cater to, you know, certain people, certain preferences with the style of dining or whatever. Like, there's probably lots of places that have just chairs, you know, or even stools to sit at like a sushi bar.
Oh, they'd see us coming from a mile away, Jonathan. If we went in there, they'd be like, hey, Americans, here's your fork and spoon, and you can sit in a chair.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, they would see us coming from a mile away because we're probably like 3 or 4 inches taller than most people over there. But,
whoa.
Well, it's true.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty short.
I know.
Do you
well,
think I'm still taller than anybody anywhere?
Dude, Americans are taller than a lot of people. Haven't we talked about this before? Not on the show, I don't think.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I generally am short wherever I go. I mean, I've never been to... Where do Oompa Loompas come from? but that would be about it, right?
Isn't it Oompa Loompa Land?
It's... Yeah, I think it is. Or where do the Munchkins live? Oz, right?
Yeah, that's
never
right.
Never been there either. So, but anyway... Yeah, wherever I go, I feel like I'm not, nowhere am I tall.
I was taller than a lot of people in India. I wasn't the tallest person in India by any stretch of the imagination, but I was taller than a lot of people. And I'm not a tall person.
Now I wish I could have thought of a tall Indian person to be like if you would have told the story about going to China, I'd have been like, yeah, that's Yao Ming, right? But
yeah.
Like, I can't actually think of a tall Indian person off the top of my head.
Yeah, same. I'm sure that like there's some 8 foot tall prodigy that is going to show up in the Olympics or something like that, right?
Yeah, I also don't like, you know, tall people and basketball kind of go hand in hand, right? And I don't watch a lot of basketball. I guess nobody's watching a lot of basketball right now.
Yeah.
But normally I don't watch a lot of basketball anyway. So, yeah, maybe there has been somebody famous from India that has played professional basketball, and I'm unaware of them.
I wonder if do they even have pro ball in India, or pro basketball, I mean, in India. I'm sure it's someone's play-in, but they probably don't have enough interest to carry a league. Well, I don't know, man. This is a pretty populous nation. Like, place gets big enough. I think
basketball's become... Yeah, there you go right there, right? Like, once you have, you know, that many people living somewhere. But I think basketball's gained pretty worldwide population, or,
popularity.
Popularity, yeah, right?
Yeah. Pretty much anywhere that NBA Jam was released, they probably play pro basketball.
Yeah, that seems right. Yeah, did you ever play Jordan versus Bird?
Yeah, on the NES they had a home version, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That was great. I don't think Bird could dunk, could he? So I was like, who wanted to be him?
I don't know. Racist, maybe?
Yeah, that's probably about it. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So we actually have some follow-up here. We got an email. Thank goodness. Love getting email. Mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com. Tweet at us at noexpertspod. This comes from a longtime listener, Matt. And his subject here says, holding your phone flat in front of you. I got this one. Maybe. Pretty long subject. So Matt says, I'm listening to Here Come the Gestures and have to comment on the holding your phone out in front of your face to talk. My girlfriend does this. And she does it because she has one of those impact-proof, waterproof cases on her phone. She's figured out that the best way to hear a call and be heard is to put the phone on speaker and hold it like you're talking about. Nothing else to add today. Keep up the episodes. Friend of the show, Matt B. And that's interesting that the B is on there, because that's going to be relevant with this next item. But
yeah, well,
before we get into that, what do you think? What's your comment? What do you make of that?
I don't have much of a comment other than I don't like bulky cases. Instead, I'd rather just treat my cheap phone like it's made out of, gold or something, I guess, or diamonds, that it's precious, even though it's not. It's a pretty cheap phone and it's old. I just don't like it. I'm picturing something like OtterBox?
Is that right? That's what they call them. That's the brand.
Yeah. For years I wouldn't even use a case on my phone, but then the last one I got is kind of like the whole thing's made out of glass or something, and it's really slippery. Mm. And so after a week of using it without a case, I was like, okay, I got to get some kind of case. But that's all I got on that one, is I don't like cases. But what about you?
I almost never used a case for the longest time. I would just get like kind of the thinnest possible case. I mean, that's still basically what I got on my phone, like a little like $9.99 piece of plastic from Amazon that was shipped from China, and you just clip it on the phone and it's essentially just there to keep it from getting scuffs on the back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, mine's probably $10.
Now,
do you have a screen protector?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, okay. And that's actually saved the very phone that I'm using now. So I'm very grateful for that. I think I've dropped every phone I've ever owned, and I've never cracked the screen on one. I've been super lucky.
That I feel like that is pretty lucky if you're using a cheap case, right? Like, I've dropped my phone, but maybe only once or twice ever, in like not even this phone, just like ever, where it was like, oh, I got lucky there. I'm surprised that didn't break.
Yeah.
Like, usually if I've dropped my phone, it's been maybe I'm reading on it or something in bed and I kind of nod off and I drop my phone and it's like it falls like 6 inches or a foot.
Oh, you know? My God. The worst is I'll have my phone or e-reader or what have you kind of like sat on my chest and I'm holding it up in front of my face. And if I doze off and my grip loosens, the fucking thing like just falls timber right on my head, like right into my face. I hate it. It's self-inflicted too. I could avoid it. It's a preventable problem, but for whatever reason, yeah, I can't learn a lesson.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. I don't have anything for you there.
So
maybe what is the saying,
play stupid games, win stupid prizes?
Oh, yeah. Well, that too, I guess. I was going to try to encourage you to invent something to prevent that from happening.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah. So, I gotta say, I think Matt's girlfriend has a legit reason to hold the phone like that. I'm not sure, though, that most of the people I've seen holding the phone like that had thick cases that would impact the call quality like that, though. Right?
Yeah, I'll try to pay more attention. I don't get out much anymore. I never did.
No one does.
Yeah, now it's even less. But I will try to pay more attention and see if I can, you know, keep some kind of at least mental note going. If I see people that talk on their phone that way, if they have thick cases or not.
So jumping from Matt B.
Yeah. So yeah, good segue. We have, I was talking to my buddy, Matt, where we were chatting or texting. And this was in regards to last episode. So we have a little follow-up there too. He suggested, based on my top choice for a spinoff was Mayday Malone, right?
Yeah.
And this kind of follows a little bit more with it, what you were saying, that in some of your ideas were sequel related. And mine was a prequel, by the way. If you haven't listened, go back and listen, but don't do it now. We won't spoil anything. but his suggestion was that a Cheers sequel would be great if you could get Woody Harrelson to revive the Woody Boyd character, right?
It'd never happen.
Why not? If you could do that, like just back up the truck to, you know, the cash truck to Woody Harrelson's house, man, everybody would want to see that.
Okay.
Right?
I don't want to shit on the idea immediately. So continue. Like if you get Woody back, then
we didn't flesh it out that well, but I think with Ted Danson, right. As far as a sequel goes, I like Ted Danson. I loved him in The Good Place. I think I even mentioned that, but he's probably like a little old at this point to be reviving the character of Sam Malone. But I don't think Woody Harrelson is. I would watch if somehow we did get a Cheers sequel and it had Woody Harrelson in it, I would watch the hell out of that.
So I don't think you're gonna get Woody back to do that. And the reason is because he's turned into like a good movie actor. Like he'll be in, you know, he's done a lot of feature films and he's been like that for a long time, right? Yeah. And TV actors tend not to go back to television once they make that crossover.
Whoa. Jonathan, are you forgetting about Three Men and a Baby or Little Lady? I mean, Ted Danson himself went back to TV.
Well, look, those were not exactly major motion pictures.
I beg to differ, my friend. I don't know about that. Steve Guttenberg, right?
Well, look, George Clooney didn't go back to ER, did he? I never watched it. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he did.
I don't know. Maybe for the finale. That show did go a long time.
Johnny Depp never went back to TV, right?
I don't think so.
He started out 21 Jump Street and shit. Although I guess that's not quite right, is it? Because it's like he was 21 Jump Street and then did Nightmare on Elm Street, or was it the other way around?
Well, I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I think, if I had to guess, I think he was younger in Nightmare on Elm Street.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Woody going back to Cheers, though, is like, I mean, this not for nothing, but it wasn't exactly like a role with a lot of dramatic heft to it. I don't think there's like aspects of the character that Woody Harrelson would like to see explored, and he wants to step into those shoes again. I could be wrong.
It would be more fan service, right? Like I would like to see it because I liked the character. Yeah, and it'd be cool to see what's happened to him this many years later, right? But of course, he still has to be the same thing. It still has to be the same kind of bits. He still has to, you know, play the kind of dumb guy role, and he has to, you know, still be a bartender, right? Maybe probably at Cheers. Otherwise, why would you watch that?
Yeah, right. Like you would just name it after some other bar that he happens to be working at. Did any of the other customers come along? Because it was, you know what I mean? Like you weren't tuning in just to watch Woody.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of an ensemble show. George, I do want to get back real quick. Did mention to you, and I forgot because I was kicking myself after we hung up the call last week, after we ended the episode, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, that I kind of took the time to flesh out the whole first season or a lot of the first season of Mayday Malone, and even talked about how I thought it would open up with him pitching his final game in high school,
right,
and then going into like the minors. And then I had thought about the ending for the first season and didn't bring it up. So I'm going to do it now. And that was Sam struggles through A-ball and finally gets pulled up to double A. In the very last episode, he walks into the manager's office. And it's kind of like one of those, like, you know, like Bull Durham type things where it's, you know, it's not like a nice manager's office. So there's some crappy desk in there, and he walks up and there's a guy sitting behind the desk, and he stands up and he says something along the lines of, "Oh, you know, Sam, we're great. We're real glad to have you here in, I don't know, whatever city it happens to be, the AA affiliate," especially what would have been at that time for the Red Sox. I have no idea what that would have been back in whatever year this would have been, the late 70s, I guess it would be. And anyway, he reaches out his hand and he says, "I'm Ernie Pantuzzo, but you can just call me Coach."
So I didn't,
boom, the season ends, right?
I didn't want to step on that, but you actually did say that on the episode.
Did I really?
Yeah, because don't you remember? Because I said, "Oh yeah, kind of like," and they'd shoot it from behind or whatever. Like they faked having Steinbrenner on Seinfeld.
Look, I'm not going to go back and listen to the episode, but I think this conversation happened by text message, Jonathan, after the episode.
Absolutely not.
All right,
I never got that text. If it did,
good one. That's a different thing we talked about, but was not on the episode. Anyway, that's probably enough of that because we're already confusing enough people here, aren't we?
So why are we recording again this fortnight?
I don't remember.
We were wanting to talk. Oh, right. So a best versus favorite that you've wanted to do for quite some time, and that I was putting off because I didn't feel qualified to speak on it, even in the context of not being an expert. However,
yeah, that's right.
However, finally, so for the longest time, Jim's wanted to do best versus favorite Sylvester Stallone movies, and I've balked because until recently, I had never seen in its entirety an installment of either Rambo or Rocky. And I feel like you're not qualified to make a decision about best or really even favorite if you haven't seen at least one or two of those films. You agree?
I do. Yeah, I do agree, even though most people aren't going to put Rambo as either. I'm sure it's somebody's favorite. And of course, there's always some person that's going to be like, "Yeah, that was the best movie ever," right?
And yeah.
I don't know. Like, sure, I liked Rambo a lot when I was like a teenager, like an early teen, especially because it had the kind of things that you want to see in a movie when you're like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But yeah, not anymore. Right. Like, I look back and I can't imagine it being most people's best or favorite Sly movie.
Maybe not most, but I feel like you need to at least have made the judgment for yourself and ruled those films out.
Yeah, because that's fair.
You never know what you might like, you know?
But now, Rocky, that's a different story, right? So you watched the whole Rocky franchise, right?
Oh, dude, we went Rocky up through Rocky V, Rocky Balboa. We did both of the Creed flicks, the whole thing. We ran the gamut. We went the distance.
I gotta say, so when I first mentioned this, and you're like, "I haven't seen Rambo or Rocky," and I was like, "Oh yeah, you probably have to see Rocky, but other than that, hey, we're not experts. you don't have to be that prepared. You don't have to have seen everything." But I would agree with you on that. I think you've surpassed me in the sense that you're more of a Sly expert now than I ever will be, because I'm not going to go back and watch a couple of those Rocky movies or those Rambo movies. So yeah, you're going to know more about this than I am, even though I'm the one that originally suggested this best versus favorite topic.
Well, so you've certainly had more time to think about it than I have. Oh, should we talk briefly about what best versus favorite means, just in case this is someone's first episode or they haven't heard best versus favorite before?
Yeah, it is recurring, but yeah, you want to go ahead and explain it for
I mean, I hope it's kind of self-explanatory. Just because something is the best of its kind doesn't mean that it's your favorite of that kind, and vice versa. Just because you like something a whole bunch doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best. And you know, kind of canonical example, what would you say is like the best example of this, best versus favorite?
I'm trying to think of some of the things we've done in the past. What we did, fruit, right?
That yeah, was well, no, nuts. But I mean, it's got to be more relatable than that. Oh, the genesis of the thing, the whole reason that it came up was of a slight disagreement that I got into once about Star Wars aliens. My wife asked, who is the best Star Wars alien? And I immediately answered Chewbacca, and she disagreed and said it was Max Rebo. And I was like, no, that's patently untrue. It's like Max Rebo's your favorite, and that's fine. You can't be wrong about that. But Chewbacca is the best Star Wars alien, period. Like, you can't, you can tolerate no disagreement on certain points. And I think that's one of them. Anyway, getting off
but
my
now
soapbox.
Everybody's favorite is Baby Yoda.
Is it though?
I mean, it kind of is, Jonathan.
I guess. I think Babu Frick is really good. If you've seen that awful Last Jedi. We talked that thing to death already, though. Let's not.
Oh yeah, we did like a whole episode on that.
Yeah, right? that was weird. But yeah, so that's the idea: best versus favorite, right? Your favorite can be whatever, but there probably is a right answer for best. And please, this is tongue in cheek. I realize that all experience is subjective. You know, your preferences can't really be objectively evaluated. But roll with it; it's more fun this way.
The idea is to kind of take an objective approach, though, and say, okay, well, it's, you know, it's fine that my favorite is A, but I mean, truly, it's not the best. And you know, there's usually some reasons behind that. And we throw things out for this topic sometimes where it's just not going to work because the two are one and the same, right? Like I'll shoot you something and be like, hey, best first favorite, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's not going to work because... Yeah, because it doesn't, there's no discrepancy there. My, you know, in my opinion, the best and my favorite is one and the same. And that doesn't make for, you know, a real good conversation now, does it?
That's right. What you're going for is favorite is an interesting thing to talk about because you're allowed to have whatever you want as your favorite. You're not going to be judged for it. And it's entertaining to hear people provide, reasons and rationale explaining why it's their favorite, but it's certainly not required. Whereas best is a little more rigorous and you got to be able to defend it. You know what I mean? So why don't you tell me first, what's your favorite Stallone film?
Well, I haven't changed my mind on this. It's going to stay the same as it was when I first suggested this. And I mean, as strong as Stop Where My Mom Will Shoot, it has to be, you know, ranked. And you're going to laugh because this isn't that much better, really. It's Demolition Man, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I actually have to agree with Demolition Man as favorite. Or rather, not agree, but I share your opinion of Demolition Man. Now, we can't just, like, agree on that and move on. Let's linger on this a moment. Let me ask you, the next closest thing, and I don't mean in terms of quality, well, maybe a little bit quality, but the next closest thing in terms of Stallone in a sci-fi flick of that era, but it's not quite the same in tone, would be Judge Dredd.
I thought you were going to go there.
What is it about Demolition? What is it that makes Demolition Man work and Judge Dredd not?
Well, there's a couple things, right? Let's start with Rob Schneider.
Isn't he in both?
No, I have no idea. He's definitely a Demolition Man. I don't know. Is he? There's no way he's in Judge Dredd.
I think
right?
He's in Dredd, dude. He's like hacking a robot in the beginning of that movie or something, right?
Huh.
Okay, we're gonna IMDb this real quick.
Yeah, I'm on it.
You said two things though.
And... He is. His character's name is Fergie in Judge Dredd.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
Hmm. but so Judge Dredd, it's not, I mean, there might be a little comic relief in there, but if any, but there's not much, right? Like, it's not supposed to be very funny.
Yeah, well, I think the Judge Dredd comics are actually pretty funny because it's a more satirical and at times like a black humor, but it's like just straight zany as well. They have really stupid things that happen in the comics sometimes. Not that I've read a lot of it, but I'm familiar with enough of it. You know what I mean?
Does it hold up? Is the Stallone movie anything like the comics?
No, not really. Not really.
Was the more recent movie? Was that Michael Fassbender?
No, it was Carl Urban in Dredd. Yeah, and that's a lot closer to the comics, but it doesn't have like the more fantastical elements of the comic. Like, if anything, Dredd is a more grounded movie.
Yeah, I liked the more recent movie. Yeah,
it's super good. I'm disappointed they never made a sequel to it, honestly.
Yeah, they were supposed to, right?
I don't know. I think everyone hoped that they would, but I don't remember a sequel being announced.
Yeah, I wonder, did it just not get enough, do well enough at the box office or something? Why didn't it not get a sequel?
Well, it was Carl Urban and Lena Headey both in it, man, and maybe they put all their eggs in the basket that was Game of Thrones. Although I think that movie came out after Carl Urban wasn't on fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, what do I know him from?
You know him from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek. He plays Bones in the J.J. films, or in the new Star Trek films. Hmm. And as Faramir, right, in Lord of the Rings. Boromir's brother.
Okay, yeah, man. That's not much, though. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that guy's been in stuff, man. I just can't think about, I can't think of too many things, you know what I'm saying?
He worked well as Judge Dredd, even though I didn't know that's who the actor was that played him.
Correction. He was Éomer, not Faramir. My mistake. Big mistake. He's on The Boys, too. He plays Billy Butcher, who's like one of the main characters.
That's right, yeah. Okay, there you go. I like The Boys.
Oh, he was Scourge in Thor Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok, right? Yeah, he was Scourge. Forgot about that. Anyway, where are we going with that? Oh, yeah, Dredd was really good. Don't know why they didn't do a sequel. But anyway, does the Stallone Judge Dredd hold up? Probably not. Honestly, I haven't seen it in like 20 years. It's just not that memorable. Really?
I don't think I've ever seen this Stallone Judge Dredd.
Now, the funny thing was that Judge Dredd was... Wait. Yeah, Judge Dredd. The title of the Stallone film was Judge Dredd. The Carl Urban film was just Dredd. But the thing about Judge Dredd was like, it was all over the place, man. There was like a huge media blitz. You couldn't turn on the TV without seeing that commercial, you know, play in the trailer with Sly delivering that catchphrase trailer line. I am the law! And like there was like three video games, I think, that they made adaptations of the movie.
At the time, though, Sly was probably a really big box office draw, right?
Oh, yeah. No, well, it was huge, right? He hardly... Oh, well, you haven't seen it, so you don't know. But he hardly wears the iconic helmet in the movie. Contrast really? That. Yeah. Like, because, you know, they want to have his face on the screen.
Yeah, well, that's the complete opposite of the other one. Does he ever take the helmet off just Dredd? I don't think he does.
He does not. And he doesn't. I think there's a shot where you see the helmet like sitting on a table and he puts it on, but it happens off screen like a tease. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't think he's ever taken the helmet off in the comic. Well, the comic's been running for like 35 years or something crazy like that. So who knows what's happened. Maybe there's been one story where they had his face or whatever, but it's kind of the point that he's like, you know, this faceless arm of the law.
What is it about John Spartan that makes that specifically makes that your favorite?
Well, hang on though. Wait a minute. You said that there were two things and you said one of them was Rob Schneider. And then we immediately disqualified that because he's in both of those movies. What was the other thing that gives it the edge over Judge Dredd?
Well, it is the comedy, right? Like, but I've never seen Judge Dredd, so I can't say for sure. Mm. But Demolition Man has like, it's got a great ensemble cast. So forget Rob Schneider, but there's plenty of other people in it that make it good, right?
Yeah, your man Simon Phoenix himself.
Right, you can Wesley start in practically in that list with Wesley Snipes.
That's exactly right. But you'll also forget that fucking Dennis Leary's in that film.
That's right. Yep. And Sandy Bullock is in that film as well, right?
Yeah, she's kind of sort of a reverse viewpoint character. She's actually like Spartan's viewpoint character for waking up in the future. It's an interesting relationship to the text.
Benjamin Bratt, no?
He's her partner, right?
I think. Well, he's certainly a cop on the force.
Yeah.
Whatever, San Angeles or whatever. Is that what it is, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Benjamin Bratt, who I last saw in Doctor Strange, I want to say. He played one of the like sorcerers, the guy who mm-hmm. healed his back and then left the order or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised Benjamin Bratt hasn't had a little bit more of I don't want to say a bigger career. I like Benjamin Bratt, but like, maybe that is right. You know what I mean? Like some more. I think he's a pretty good actor. So I guess I'm surprised I haven't seen him in more.
You've probably heard him in stuff. He's done voice work. You know, he was in Coco. He was in what was that? He's been in a couple of like DC Universe animated things, voicing various characters. I don't know. It's nothing that you'd put on a poster or whatever, probably, but I don't know. He's working, I guess.
Good. I mean, I think he spent quite a few years in Law and Order, right?
Oh yeah, maybe that's it. And you know what? I bet he's one of those actors that's just always doing theater. Like, that's his bread and butter, I bet.
Now, if you're one of those actors, it's because you like acting and you think that, like, you know, that's, you just enjoy it, right? You're in it for the acting, for the art of it, right? Because there's no way it pays as well.
I guess it depends on the show, man. Because, like, think about this. You might get, like, onesie, twosie, well... Now, I say that, and I'm going to immediately take it back, because even if you get just like onesie-twosie appearances on the occasional television show, the big thing is the residuals that you continue getting paid. You've heard about that, right? Like, you'll get on a show, and you'll make a little money every time someone shows a rerun of it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, like, you know, long-running sitcom stars are cashing in. Like crazy, right? Like the Friends cast is in Seinfeld cast is, you know, they never need to work a day again ever.
But they were making money when they were making the show. Like, they got rich making the show. It's not even like leave the reruns and syndication out of it. But I'm saying, like, your point, Benjamin Bratt could be doing theater all day and all night and not make the money that he probably make off of appearing in like two Law and Order episodes. You know, even if he didn't make that much, even if he was being paid what they call scale, like the minimum that the Screen Actors Guild or whatever will allow a performer to be paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if he was making scale on those episodes, he's probably over time made so much more money on the long tail. I'm talking about this like I know anything about it. I really don't.
You got me believing in it. So,
well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong, as long as you sound confident. That's a We're No Experts life hack.
Well, back to Demolition Man then.
Yes, yes.
What about it makes it, in your opinion, your favorite Sly movie?
Well, I mean, it has almost nothing to do with Stallone himself, unfortunately. It's mostly the combination of Wesley Snipes' absolutely magnetic performance as the psychopathic Simon Phoenix and the sheer fancifulness of its future that it set in. Like, the whole idea of the fast food wars, meaning that Taco Bell is the only restaurant left. That's insane.
And, it's funny.
And it's hilarious. And, like, you remember that. Like, even if people who've only seen Demolition Man, like, once, they'll remember the Taco Bell thing because it just sticks in your mind. Versus, I remember a couple of things from Judge Dredd, but it's not anything that, like, anyone, unless they're a huge fan of that movie, would really care about. Like, do you remember? Well, you never seen it, but it was in the trailers. He can talk to his gun and change the type of ammunition that it uses. Explosives. Do you remember that?
No.
No, you don't, because who could possibly? Versus Demolition Man, you got the three seashells, my God.
Yeah, the three seashells. There's a lot of memorable stuff.
Even like little throwaway stuff is memorable. And like, you know, the whole like freezing yourself, or not freezing yourself, but being frozen and serving out like, you know, your prison sentence and being thawed out at the end of it. Like, that's crazy, man. Nothing like that happens in Dread. They don't have anything like nearly as imaginative.
Society is all like peaceful, and their worst criminal is like Dennis Leary, Edgar Friendly, right?
Yes, that's right.
And he's not even really like a bad guy. They have some kind of like affinity for the, I guess, in the 1990s or something. And they, like, I remember they're listening to like jingles from the 90s are like hit songs or oldies. Right?
Yeah. It's just like commercials that they're playing.
Like product jingles.
Yeah. Right. So like, there's just so many, I don't know, like, you wouldn't even think to put stuff like that in a movie, right? Or rather, if you were just making a by the numbers action flick, you wouldn't think to put all those weird quirky touches to it. It's similar to, and this is like, I wouldn't say that these are like similar movies broadly speaking, but in a very specific way, it's similar to the Verhoeven Starship Troopers. Did you ever see that?
I have seen it. Yep.
You know what you know what I'm saying? Like the choice of details that they emphasize to show how different the society of the world of the film is compared to like the culture that we're living in as observers watching the film. There's a lot of, I don't know, like similarity between them. Like the, I don't know. It's hard for me to articulate, but I feel like you see where I'm going. And maybe someone's got a better vocabulary than I do out there. Write in if you kind of have a better way to put into words what I'm getting at. Mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com or tweet at noexpertspod. So
I love the running joke of the three seashells, and that Sylvester Stallone, John Spartan doesn't know how to use them. And they never really explain it. They just leave it up to your imagination of how can you wipe your ass with three seashells?
Yes.
And how exactly does this clean your backside?
Yes. Less is more.
Right. It's so funny, right? Because who thought of that? Who thought like, oh, what if you used three seashells? And like, you don't have to explain how or anything. It just let it be this joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And what's so good about it too is like, you don't see it on screen, right? Like Sly just says it when he comes like out of the bathroom. He's like, "Oh, I don't know. Where's the toilet paper? There's only just like three seashells or whatever." Like you don't. It's not pictured on screen, and it just fires up your mind to think like, what is the potty training for this guy going to be like? Who's going to take him in there and show him? And like, just like you said, you have no idea how it's actually supposed to work. So there have been some really gross theories over the years that I've read about. I'll leave that for other people to
really
go Google.
I've never even thought to look that up. Man, that's funny.
What did you think how did you think the three seashells worked?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't have a good suggestion about how you would use that. Like, I think that was the intent though, is that it's just funny. And it's like, you could come up with anything, right? Why that worked so well, I don't know. But I guess it's because like it's just absurd. Like you wouldn't use that.
So I always thought that it was like controls for like a sonic shower like they had on Star Trek, where, you know, you can't have like running water in space necessarily. So like it would just like blast some kind of sound waves at your ass and clean you that way.
I like that when he comes out of the bathroom, I think it's like at the police station, there's, they've already done this, so he knows it's going to work this way, but there's like kind of AI listening all the time, right?
Yeah. And so he curses. We're
practically there. Yeah. To keep getting citations.
Yeah.
And it just keeps printing paper out of the wall, and like the fucking Alexa or whatever is just like, John Spartan, you have been fined. And then it just keeps repeating that for like, basically because it's illegal to swear.
Yeah.
So it just keeps giving him a ticket every time he does it. And so he just collects it like a fistful of them and takes them back into the bathroom. That's great.
So we could probably just recap the entire film for the rest of the episode, but we got to get around to establishing what the best Stallone film is. And I guess we should also qualify, when we say Stallone film, it really means a film in which Sylvester Stallone plays the lead, right? Because he's directed other stuff that he wasn't necessarily the lead in, right?
Is that right? I have no idea. What is Stallone known for as a director?
Well, he wrote and directed Rocky. And I think he wrote the screenplay and directed Rambo, or not Rambo, but First Blood.
I don't even think of him as, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think of it more as like, those are just, movies he was in. Yeah. Did he direct Rocky?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think he directed all but one of them, right?
Yeah. Was it not the first?
No, he directed the first.
Okay.
Hang on. Now you got me doubting. I'm going to confirm that. No. Well, okay. I'm sorry. You're right. He wrote the first one, but it was directed by a fella named John G. Alvitson.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Alvitson.
Who also directed, by the way, The Karate Kid Part 3.
Is that the Hilary Swank Karate Kid?
No, that was Ralph Macchio still. He directed the original Karate Kid as well. And your favorite Rocky film, Rocky 5.
Well, that's everybody's favorite Rocky film, and I guess that's a great segue, and it's also the best, right?
What, Rocky?
Five.
No, Rocky Five is not the best.
No, it's
not. Absolutely not.
No, it's bad. And hey, Sylvester Stallone has a lot of bad movies, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because he's got several really good movies as well. And I just don't think there's a lot of, like, Rocky's the best, right?
You're jumping right to it. The first Rocky is the best.
I mean, there's not really any, like, there's no suspense here, I don't think, right? Nobody's going to disagree with that. Some movies might have been better, had more box office success, but maybe only because he was a bigger name by that point. I mean, is Cliffhanger a good movie?
I've not seen it.
I liked it at the time I saw it, but I think it's more, again, because I was the right age to like it at that time, and I liked everything he put out, like over the top, right? But come on, those don't even compare at all to Rocky. Rocky's a great story. It's a great movie. It's a classic. I mean, it's just a good movie.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to have to agree that Rocky is probably the best Stallone movie, because here's the thing about Rocky. Here's what I really liked about it anyway. I don't really know the first thing about boxing other than two guys hit each other and hopefully one of them gets knocked out. So like, that is not the part of Rocky that engages me. The part of Rocky that engages me is how real and tangible the entire world in which that character lives feels, the way that it comes through the screen. Like, you really feel that late 70s, you know, Philadelphia atmosphere. All the characters, like the dialogue, their mannerisms, their accents, the things that they do, the ways that they relate to each other. It's all so strong. You know what I mean? Like, it's a movie where you watch it and it really puts you in a different time and place. And I guess when it came out, it probably wasn't a different time, but I'm sure that people who went to go see Rocky, if they weren't from Philly, like, they probably felt that just as strongly then as I felt it, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I watched it. And like, that's incredible. Any movie that's able to do that succeeds in some way, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody in that movie was known at the time, right?
Well, I mean, Burgess Meredith played Mick. Yeah.
Mickey. Yeah. 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 Okay. Other than Burgess Meredith, right? Like Carl Weathers wasn't a known actor, really, right? Sylvester Stallone wasn't. I don't even know if Adrienne went on to do much of anything after that
movie. Oh yeah, right? she was in other movies, man. She's like she's a Coppola. Talia Shire.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's related to what's name? She was in The Godfather and shit. Coppola. Yeah. All right. That's right.
I don't remember her character specifically, but I'll take your word on that. I guess, but at that time I don't think too many other people in that movie were known, right? It's good when a movie I think comes out and I don't know. Sometimes I watch a movie because I know the names in it. And certainly by the time I saw Rocky, I knew who Sylvester Stallone was. But if you were watching it at that time, man, it must have been like 1976 or whatever. It must have just come out of nowhere. And you're like, what? You know, who are these people? And yeah, I think there's something kind of exciting about that.
Yeah, definitely. Like you watch that film and his performance is just phenomenal. Like to the point that like I've seen other Stallone films. Now, granted, I hadn't seen any other Rocky or Rambo, as I said, in their entirety at the time. But I thought that I had a pretty good idea of what Stallone could do, you know. And then I watched Rocky and it was just like, Jesus, man, that's so different. Like, of course, he's got kind of the meathead voice that everyone makes fun of. But like it's a part of the character in Rocky. Yep. And the way that he performs it is very different than just like sort of the meathead way that he normally talks. You know what I mean? Like he's definitely putting on these mannerisms, like the way that he moves, the way that he looks at people, the you know, the different way that he talks to Adrian versus how he talks to Paulie and stuff. Like it's so nuanced in a way that you wouldn't expect if you said, you know, here's this guy that you've seen all these action movies out of, and oh, guess what? He's playing a boxer in this one. Okay, well, I kind of know what to expect, but you don't know what to expect if you haven't seen it. It's super good. Like, I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that by the time we saw it, we had known him as an action star. But when it came out, people didn't, right? Like, I mean, he wasn't some, you know, some big Hollywood action star at that time.
Yeah, I don't have a firm handle on, like, what popular opinion of Stallone was before, like, I don't know. Like when I was a kid, the first thing that I remember ever hearing about a Sylvester Stallone was Rambo, just because I guess they were advertising Rambo 3 on TV and they had all those like Rambo toys and toy stores, which is really weird in retrospect.
Is that was Rambo 3 First Blood Part 2?
No, that was Rambo First Blood Part 2. So it goes First Blood and then Rambo and then Rambo 3. Does that make any sense to you? Because no. It didn't really make sense to me either.
So the name of the original Rambo movie is First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Yeah, that's confusing.
Well, because the first Rambo movie is First Blood. It's not called Rambo.
Uh-huh.
So then...
But the second Rambo movie then is First Blood Part 2.
Yes, that is correct. But okay. But when you say Rambo movie, you don't mean a movie titled Rambo. You mean movie about the character Rambo.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Right. But so I remember like they even briefly had a Rambo cartoon show. How weird is that? There was like an animated series of Rambo.
I don't remember that at all.
And like, well, I'm sure it was like 10 episodes. I mean, who could care? But like, you know, I just remember like, you saw that bow and arrow with like the missile warhead, that toy everywhere. You saw like the Rambo custom survival knife that he had and shit like that. And like, that was the first inkling that I had of what a Rambo was. And so I wonder what it was like for people who first saw this guy come out of nowhere with Rocky and eventually like turn into this like muscle bound, you know, soldier of fortune, basically. I guess he's not really a soldier of fortune because he's not a mercenary. He just gets like called in by his former colonel to do these missions or whatever. But anyway, you know what else is crazy? Rocky 76, the year before Star Wars. Imagine that, like back to back, you see this Rocky, and the next thing you know, you got Star Wars knocking on your door.
When did the first Rambo movie come out?
78, I think, was First Blood.
Okay.
So that would have been the year after, right?
Yeah, but before Rocky 2.
Let me double check. Oh, 82, actually, First Blood. My mistake. Okay,
so he had two Rocky movies under his belt.
But yeah.
All right. And had the belt, right? Oh, wait, spoiler alert for Rocky 2, sorry.
No, geez. You ever seen First Blood?
Yes. I've seen a few Rambo movies. I saw the first two, and then like jumped to one of the more recent ones, but not the most recent one.
You maybe probably like the 2006 one.
I think so.
Where he's in like Burma.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw that one, and I hadn't seen one in a while, and it was bad. They're all kind of bad though. Like, I just don't think Rambo is my type of movie. I'll be honest. Like, again, when I was a kid, I thought it was badass, but now, like, I don't even think if I went back and I watched the original Rambo movie, I would have an appreciation for it. Like, I'd probably just be like, no, this is what I think it's going to be.
I think First Blood is really good. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. And I thought it was a really good performance there too. Not Rocky caliber, but it was definitely a lot more, I don't know, thoughtful than I expected it to be. But then Rambo 2 is just a fucking cartoon. Although there's a lot to love in that movie too.
Yeah, I just seem to remember him beating just like a killing machine, and it's like 80s action movie.
It's kind of that, but like one of the more memorable things is at one point, like the whole idea is that he's supposed to go get photographic evidence of these POW camps where there's all these like POWs who are still being held from like Vietnam, you know, from the Vietnam War. And he winds up I barely remember it now. It's not much of a plot, but he winds up finding out that like, there's no plan actually to rescue the POWs. Like when he's not able to like complete the mission, he finds out there's like no plan to rescue the POWs. And then it has something to do with the CIA. Oh, fuck it. Who cares? Just go look at the plot summary on Wikipedia. But like, there's a cool moment where, you know, he's captured and, you know, they're interrogating him, trying to give up like the secrets and what the mission is. And they want him to like radio the base and like compromise you know, whoever's running the show at headquarters, and he's finally like, yeah, okay, I'll fucking do it. And they turn on the radio and Rambo is like, Murdoch, and that's like the CIA guy, right? And so Murdoch gets on and he's like, oh yeah, what's the situation, blah blah blah. And Rambo's just like, I'm coming to get you. It's like the most dynamite scene. Like even though it's not a good movie, that's such a great moment, and that's the one thing I can say about Rambo 2. Anyway,
so would you agree that the Rocky movies got worse as they went along? Like each one is a little worse than its predecessor,
sort of,
until Creed,
sort of, right? Well,
and then, I don't know if that counts though. Like I get it, it's part of the Rocky verse or whatever, but they're not Rocky movies anymore. I haven't seen the second Creed movie. I liked the first one. I suspect I will see the second one at some point. I don't know if it's on a service that I get right now and I can watch it for free or not. But I should probably look.
I don't know if it'd be fair to call them Rocky movies per se, but they definitely take place. Unsurprisingly, you get a sense of legacy and of history, a connection to the character of Rocky, who's also very present in both of the movies. Like he's a major character, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. I liked Creed a lot.
Yeah,
I will say that. It was a good movie, and I am kind of surprised I haven't seen the second one yet. But Well, I liked Rocky IV because, again, I was the right age to enjoy it. I've watched it since, and I'm just like, nope, this is definitely worse than three, which was worse than two, which was worse than one. But that's not saying a lot because one was very good, right? So, you know, two was still a good movie, and three was, I don't know, getting not so great by then. It was a little predictable. Oh, Rocky gets a little soft and you know, starts living in the lap of luxury, and then he gets taken by, you know, Mr. T, Clubber Lang. And
yeah.
I don't know. Like, he's got that stupid, like, stage match against Hulk Hogan.
Thunderlips, right? That's the character's name that Hogan's playing.
Exactly right. Yeah. I don't know. It was okay. And then, four was, again, it was like, yay, beat the big Russian. And they all got behind him anyway. But again, like, have in subsequent viewings, the older I've gotten, I'm just like, that's not good.
I really want to hear what you think of Creed 2 once you've seen it. One thing that I like about the Rocky movies, though, is at least for the first five, I think all five of them do this. Well, the four sequels, I should say. I think all four sequels do this, where they recap or even present again the end of the previous movie, and the film just takes up like immediately from that point. Like,
That's pretty cool.
It's not like real time, you know what I mean? But it's like, as soon as this ended, this next chapter in this character's life began. And that's pretty neat. You don't see that a lot. I can't even think of another film series that's done that. Can you?
No, not off the top of my head. I'm sure it's been done, but I'm trying to, there's got to be something, but nothing comes to mind.
Yeah. Okay, so we landed on, we agree, best, the first Rocky. And we also happen to agree this time around on favorite, Demolition Man. But our listeners are very likely to have some different opinions. I'm interested to hear them. So once again, write in mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Tweet at us @noexpertspod. We'll definitely read those out, I think. Maybe it's too many movies to run a poll. Maybe we'll do a poll for other best versus favorites or future best versus favorites. But this one right in. All right. Any other thoughts on Stallone?
No, not really. I mean, I think a lot of his movies were misses for me, even though I've seen quite a few of them. But no, you know. I don't know. He has his place. They're fine. I don't know. Rocky is a good movie, and it was an easy choice for me, right, to say that. But short of Demolition Man, I can't go back and say I like a lot of those. Like, those are really the only two easy ones for me. Like, and it's easy to pick which one was my favorite and which one's the best, right? Because one is certainly better than the other. But yeah, like, I don't think I'll ever watch Tango and Cash again.
Kurt Russell in that, at least, right?
Yeah.
Kurt Russell would be a good best versus favorite, by the way.
Right? No, I mean, Arnold's got to be next, right?
Well, I was going to say, at the risk of just talking about a bunch of fucking movies, like, we don't do that every episode anyway, maybe we need to just commit to doing best versus favorite Arnold next time.
Maybe not next time.
Next best versus favorite, next episode.
Okay. I was going to say, unless if you don't want to hear that, instead of just not tuning in the next episode, tune in like it's a radio, give us something better to talk about. Send us an email or tweet at us and give us a good topic and we'll talk about it.
Oh, maybe what we should do is try to figure out how movies are made from first principles. Since we don't know anything about it, if you were going to make a movie, where would you start?
Well, you know, I would probably just call Sylvester Stallone and ask him how much he what's the rate to get him to be in my movie.
All right, probably well more than we can afford.
Do you think that is a bad plan? Right?
Yeah, probably. Although you could start by following him on Instagram or something. Send him a private message.
I'd probably just, you know, DDG it. How do I make a movie?
All right. Well, if we wind up doing that, we'll definitely talk about it on the show. But until then, we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.